Okay, Yisru Chag Sameach to all of those in Eretz Yisrael who are listening today, and I guess those who might be listening tomorrow, then it'll be Yisru Chag for you as well, so enjoy. There's an inyan of Marbe Besud a little bit. It's a nice, it's a simcha to hold attached to the Chag just a little bit, even the day after. Okay, so now we're up to the last line of Tzadik HaMabez, the second last line, actually, the words of Haisa, Bas Yisrael, Nislam Nakuna, that if this lady was a non-Kohen, she is going to be puzzled from then on to marrying into Kuhuna. If her husband subsequently died, she would no longer allow to be married into Kuhuna. So now turning on to the next Amud of Tzadik Aleph, Amud Aleph now, the Gemara says, Pshita, I don't understand what in the Havamina, as Rashi points out, he's Zonahi. This is a classic case of a Zona who's Asur Lekohen. She committed adultery, even if it was accidental. She is going to be considered Asur to a Kohen. She's a Zona. So the Gemara says, Bas Levi Mina Meister Zuchai, right? That this ruling really was unnecessary, but was just way of introduction for the next point. If this lady was a Levi's daughter, that she's possible from Meister, that's why we needed to mention it. That's why the Tana mentions it. Bas Levi Mina Meister Min Misla Biznus. But now the Gemara says, wait a second, though. Great that Mishnah told us that halacha, but where do we know that? Why would it be that a Levi's daughter is pasul from eating Maaser Rishon on account of being a Zona? V'hatayna, don't we learn in a Braisa? Levia Shinish Beis, if you have a case of a Levi who is captured by Ovdei Avodah Zarah, we're afraid that unfortunately that her captors had raped her, Oshinavala Be'ilas Nus, or Mamish, just had a Be'ilas Nus, even though certain that she had relations with an Akoi or anybody else that's usher to have relations, Be'ilas Pasala, Nosinla Maaser V'chelas, we are permitted to give her Maaser and she is allowed to eat it. She is not disqualified from eating Maaser. So now, obviously, had it been a Bas Kohen, it's Pasher that these cases are Asher. So we see over here that according to the understanding right now that we're saying that she should be Mutter to eat Maaser Rishon. Amar Sheshes Knasa. Sheshes says that this is a disqualification only made out of Knas, that she should have been more careful to check into the situation. We don't want her on the basis of, again, the fact that you're marrying on a single witness was a huge Kula. So we allow her, we assume that she's going to perform a valid investigation. Clearly, her valid investigation was not so valid, and therefore we penalize her very strongly, as we've just seen in all the other Mishnah's cases. Here, by Beis Levi also has another encouragement to make sure that she will make sure that she does a proper investigation. We give her this knas. So let's just point out, wait a second, though, the Rabbanan don't even penalize the case where the Vada is a Zona, where case she in the case that we had, she nevelas bilas nos, why don't we penalize that case? So Tosfos answer, because nos is lo shchiach, it's not something which is necessarily so common, and therefore we would assume that she, we don't make a gzera, there's a concept that Chazal don't make gzeras on things that aren't common, so therefore we don't make a gzera. Really, would have been roi, obviously, to make a gzera, but since it's not common, we don't make a gzera. Another important point, the Aruch HaShulchan is metame that how do we know that the halachas of with regards to Trumas and Maestros, the Aruch HaShulchan says, how do we know that a Bas Koyen and a Levia are entitled to Trumas and Maestros? Really, Maestro Rishon, let's talk about for now, that a Levia is entitled to Maestro Rishon. It only says Levi and Bnei Levi in the cards of Psukim, and he says we don't have a clear indication otherwise. So Rav Chaim Kanevsky in a Sefer Derech Emunah, it's always scary when it says Atzal, it's very sad that we say that, but he brings a raya from this Gemara among other Gemaras against the Aruch HaShulchan. He says, I understand. Here we clearly say that we're being penalizing her on getting the Meiser over here. It doesn't matter who, because the Aruch HaShulchan, maybe if she's allowed to get it, in the case where that she's married, she's getting on behalf of her husband. Here we're talking about, even if she's married to Yisraelis, she'd be allowed to get the true man. Clearly she's getting on her own behalf. We see over here that Meiser Rishon clearly is giving on her own behalf, or Befirish Gemara, that is a raya against the Aruch HaShulchan. And this is the point of the Rav Chaim, that this is a raya that really women Levias are fully entitled. I can give it on their own right as the daughter of Levia. She is entitled to get, even if she's married to Yisrael. So that'd be me. My wife, Be'ez Hashem, will assume when we start having Maaser Rishon, so she can collect. She's a Bas Levia. Her father is a Levi. So she would be entitled to get Maaser Rishon, and now she can give it to me because we hold it against her man, that we hold it to Mamon, how she eat it. Anybody can eat it, not like Truma, where it's only for Kohanim and that. So she'd be allowed to give me. Be'ez Hashem, we hope that day comes soon. So now, there's also another very interesting chassidish idea that the Avnei Nezer brings, that the Eretz Tzvi brings the name of Avnei Nezer, the Kazer Glover Gon, not to be confused with Eretz Tzvi, which is Rina Rav Shechter Slita. Eretz Tzvi is the Kazer Glover. Actually, very fascinating, funny story with that, which is Agav with Rav Shechter. I heard this story from Rebelazon, that they were in Eretz Yisrael together. They asked they had a really strong question. They couldn't find a Mar Makom for a certain source. So usually when people did that, they would go to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, speaking of Rav Chaim Kanievsky again, as a walking encyclopedia. So they went to ask him, and he asked him, he says, Ayantim, but Mamash Tov Basugia. And they said, yes, we don't have an answer to this. Kashi's Mamash Ayantim, you see, and he says that it's a Beferish Eretz Tzvi. So they didn't realize it was, he was referring to the Eretz Tzvi, the Kazer Glover Gon, this Sefer in 100 years earlier, and they thought we were freaking out, like, you know, he had Rav Shechter Sefer, but it was referring to this, the Kazer Glover Gon, when he was answering that. Not this point of the Eretz Tzvi, but just the Aga point of that funny story with Eretz Tzvi and Eretz Hatzvi. Back to the Avnei Nezer, the Chassidish idea, and then we got to the Vayta already, that the Avnei Nezer says over here, as a Levia, she apparently they're more in tune to know when somebody dies. We know that Shevet Levi and Enadim are counting the 40 days that from this time, right after we got the Torah, the 40 days that we made a mistake, which was the time of Shavasar B'Tamas. So that time, that Shevet Levi never doubted that Moshe Rabbeinu hadn't died. Their fellow Levia, they have this chush, they have apparently this inherent sense to know when their fellow brethren die, when their fellow people from the Levi Shevet die. So here also, this Levia, who is married to anyone who would be, apparently they have this inherent chush, and she is penalized because of that. It's very real chassidish idea that would be why she's penalized in this gemara. Okay, let's go weiter. Bas kohen mina truma. If she's a daughter of a kohen, she is pasul from eating truma. So that is the gemara. Lachor, that's also pasul. So the gemara says afilu b'truma derabanan. The chiddush over here is that even truma derabanan, I would have thought maybe that since the znus again was at the end of the day shogeg derabanan, maybe more meikel with regards to truma on a din derabanan, or truma from vegetables, which include according to everybody is derabanan. No, therefore the kohen's daughter is not allowed to have that truma either. Next point. Vein yorshin shalzev yorshin zay yorshin ksubasa, that the children of either sets of neither ones of heirs are going to inherit her ksuba. So the Gemara says, what's going on here? Ksuba Medavasa. We just said that there is no ksuba in the Tanakhama holds, that the woman has no claim to her ksuba. So obviously there's nobody inheriting the ksuba, which is given, the husband gets to keep it. So it's obviously not given to her yorshin. So says the Gemara, what are we talking about? Amar Papa, the ksuba has been in Dichrin. We're talking about the ksuba, literally, of the male children. Ksuba has been in Dichrin, as the Gemara and Ksubas relates, is the institution that their chazal made, that the ksubas should be given because to the person who's going into the marriage, specifically her children. Because what happened was that fathers were reluctant to give a large nidunya. They didn't want to give a big dowry to their daughters because they said, what's going to happen? My daughter's going to die and then the husband's going to inherit her and he's married to multiple wives. And now I don't want this other lady, right? So Reuven is married to Sarah and Rivka. So he doesn't. I don't want Rivka's kids to get an equal inheritance. So what am I paying them? I'd rather just keep my own inheritance and then I'm not going to give a dowry to this wife. So therefore, Chazal or Misakin, what's called Ksuvah's Bin Dichrin, that you can have an exclusive right to only their children getting that half of the whatever the nidunya, whatever dowry was brought in that the father-in-law is bringing. So if this guy is bringing to Reuven $10,000, that if Reuven, if Sarah predeceases Reuven, so Reuven will inherit in the time being that $10,000 of ksuvah has been different. But if let's say again Rachel was also the other children of Rachel, if then subsequently when Reuven dies, so the children of Rachel and the children of Sarah are, they're both boys, so they're equally inheriting their father's estate, but they would not, the ksuvah has been different that was once Sarah's is only solely the property of the children of Sarah. So those children would get it and they would have no right to it. So our Mishnah is teaching us that even in the case where the second situation where she was alive, the fact that Ksuba has been in Dichrin, I would have thought maybe Taka should be given to her children, because why are we going to be Kones the children? Why are we going to Kones Sarah's children in our example? But for having Bia unintentionally. For her, we give her Knas, but maybe her children that the father-in-law gave should not be. So the Gemara is saying, and Echanami, that at the end of the day, we're treating it, Tanak Ksuba, like Ksuba, as we see before in other circumstances, as part of the Tanak Ksuba. This was in the stipulation of the Ksuba for getting married, so that's why we assume that there is a Knas over here. So the Gemara says, Pshita, but it's obvious that the male children have no claim to it, but again, it gets Tanak Ksuba, which we just said. There's no Avamina. The Gemara says, because no, I have to put the flesh out. Ma de seima lidi, dai David is to reconcile Rabbanah, because only maybe the woman herself, the Rabbanah, are imposing the issue that she's not getting the suba. Avar lazar lo kutzer Rabbanah. As we just said, why should you punish the father-in-law? So we flesh this out. So that's why the Gemara says, Kamashma, the Tana is teaching us that this is not the case, and therefore, they would not get ksuba and dichrin, as I would have thought maybe they would. So now the Mishnah's final case was, Achir shalzev, chotzin vil miyabin, that if they died without any children, each one performed chalitza, not yibum. So the Gemara points out there's two fundamental differences between the two cases. Achir Sarishan Cholitz Medaraisa, that the first husband on the level Daraisa, that again, she really was allowed to go back to him. The Rabbanan Ranun Mesakin, that it was like a Bias Nus that was willful, and therefore she's like a certain level, she's ushered her husband, that's why she's not allowed to go back to him. However, the second one, so therefore on the level of Daraisa, she's full, if that husband subsequently dies and she doesn't have a chance to get a gift from him, so then the halacha is that she fully is married to him, so then it'd be Vamalashuk, Minister Daraisa, for her to marry anybody else without Chalitza. So the Gemara points that out, that it's Cholitz Medaraisa, Vilomabam Medarabanan. However, that there's only a Din Darabanan which would prevent her from performing Yibam with that husband's brother, the first husband. However, as the Gemara points out now, Achir Shalsheni Cholitz B'Derabanan, the whole institution that the second husband should require Chalitza is all Derabanan, just like we require a get, because we don't want to assume that maybe really that she, everyone's going to think that she got a get from the first husband, like we saw on yesterday and the previous Dapim, that where people are going to get confused, that they're going to think that you can get away without a get, so that people are going to think you can get away without chalitza. So therefore, Melavim Medol Medarisa Rabbanan, she's not, obviously she's not allowed to perform Yibum, not a level of Daraisa, not a level of Darabanan, be Biznus, for her to have, be with that brother. But Rabbi Kibiyag actually points out that would be only Lachora while if that brother is still alive, if that brother dies and after she subsequently gets a get from the first husband, Lachora there'd be no Isser with her because she wasn't married to the second husband. So then it wouldn't be Ishis Achiv, so Lachora she would be allowed to marry the brother of the second guy afterwards, after she gets a get from the first. But we're pointing out that basically that the whole concept of Yibum, that's the Gemara's point. point, the concept of Yibum, Norma Derabana, Norma Deraisa is Chal. Yibum, and then obviously Midrabanan require Chalisa. So now the Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi Omer Ksuvasa Nechse Badlash, on the Hemshech of the Mishnah, which we had three different Tanaim with regards to the Shita in our Mishnah. These three Tanaim, it's important to know their Shitas because we're going to analyze all of them, is that we had Rabbi Yossi say that our Ksuba Taka, the first husband, is Chayev, and Rabbi Lazar said that the first husband is also going to be is also Mitziasa and Maisea Dea, and also Hafaris Nadaraya. Rabbi Shimon was the one who says that if you have Bia with Yibum or Chalisa with her, in the case of the first husband, that would pater her the tzara from Yibum, and the child of the first husband is also not a mamzer. He goes that far to say that Subman Darabanan is not going to be a mamzer. So now the Gemara is understanding we're going to have a machlokas. Do these three opinions, do they agree with each other? Do they agree on certain points? What do they disagree with? What are they adding? So the Gemara is going to get into this now. So that's the first Amor right now. Amor Ravuna says Basrai Modula Kamai, that the latter Tanaim are going to agree with the former Tanaim. Kamai Lamad Rasha, however, the former Tanaim are not going to agree with the latter Tanaim. So that we're saying, according to this, is that we have Rabbi Yossi, he's allowing her to write to the Ksuba, then we have Rabbi Lazar who allows him the rights to the Mitziasa, Maisei Adea, and Hafaris Nedaraya, and Rabbi Shimon who allows the Yibum does not declare her children Mamzer. So everybody's going to agree with Rabbi Yossi because he's the least Chiddush, and the Gemara is going to explain that Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Lazar, they're going to have problems. Rabbi Yossi is going to reject those two Shitas, and Rabbi Lazar would agree with Rabbi Yossi, and obviously what he owns Shita, but he would also disagree with Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara is going to flesh this out. So says the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon modi le Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Shimon definitely agrees with Rabbi Lazar because Dema Bia de Akar Yisru Lokanis. So Rabbi Shimon is going to agree that even when it comes to the Bia, usually the Bia, so she's not allowed to be with her husband. So that's like a primary issue over here. And yet we allow her to have Bia with the brother, Mitzad Yibum. So in the case where Rabbi Lazar clearly is going to agree with Rabbi Lazar that the Mamon, that the husband's right to her, to things that she finds, to her Mitzias, the things that she finds, and her whatever she earns, whatever she makes for money, her Parnasa, which she's entitled to, is also a monetary issue, and he'd be entitled to that. So we're saying over here, Rabbi Shimon's understanding that that would be the biggest chiddush over here. Then he would clearly go with Rabbi Lazar's less chiddush that they didn't penalize her regarding these mamon, because he's saying that with regards to the actual matter relationship, the relationship that they had, it's still chal for the point that you're allowed to do yibum, and there's a chalos to the yibum. So the Gemara says that would be the shita of Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar lo modi Rabbi Shimon. However, Rabbi Lazar disagrees with Rabbi Shimon because mitzias umasya de demona lo kanis. Those things we just said, those are monetary things. So we're not going to make a kanas on them. We're not going to penalize him. About bia di isuro de kanis. But when it comes to the bia with the yavam, which is similar to the Isser with the lady herself that she had to the husband, that's also, we are going to make a knas on that and not allow the BM to be chal. With Tavayu Modil Rabbi Yossi, and both Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Lazar, they agree with Rabbi Yossi. Hade diasve tose lo kanis. That if they hold that the Rabbanan did not penalize these rights, which are only going to be as long as they're married, meaning that while she's with them, the husband enjoys these rights to the Mitziasa, Maisei Adea, and Hafaris Nedaraya. So these rights are going to be showing that they're a normal case of marriage. Accordingly, the fact that if these rights are going to remain enforced, the husband's going to be not careful to divorce her because he wants them. So this, Lachora, even there, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Lazar are still going to allow the marriage to remain intact. So then, Kol Shekin Ksubas of the Mishkal Mefikai. So then, all the Marshal, do they agree that Rabbanan are not going to penalize the wife's claim to the Ksuba, which stands to be collected when she gets divorced? That the wife's claim to her ksuba is only an insurance for her. Rav Huna is arguing that if Rav Lazar and Shimon maintain that even those things which do not contribute to the problem were not going to be penalized, they're certainly going to agree with Rav Yossi that her claim to the ksuba was also not penalized because the ksuba is allowing the woman to retain the right is not an issue with regards to her. So Gemara says Rav Yossi lo modilu. However, Rav Yossi is not going to agree with them on their two chidushim. Why? Because ksuba de la mishkal mefek u de lo kanis. When it comes to the ksuba, which is there to be collected when she's getting divorced, then that was not. And you don't make a penalty on that she doesn't get collected. However, but those rights which are operative as long as they're married, so then we don't want that to remain intact because we want to make sure that they're not going to remain married. So we want to encourage the divorce. We want to encourage that he can't be made for the Nadarim, that she should be ugly to him. We want to encourage that he doesn't get Maisei Daim because he wants that monetary, that she makes a lot of money, so then he's going to want to stay married to her. So that's going to delay the get, and also with regards to the things she finds. These are all things that encourage the sake of Shalom Bias. We don't want that because we want her to get divorced. And obviously, Kol Shekin, he's going to disagree with Rabbi Shimon that she's allowed to be to have Yibum because that Bia is the mamish like a primary Isser, which is going to be definitely going to have a Knas on that as well. Now the Gemara continues. Rabbi Yochanan is actually going to disagree. He's going to say the opposite halacha. He says Amar Kamayim Madul Basrai, that the first Tanaim are going to agree with the later Tanaim. Basrai lo Madul Kamayim, the later Tanaim are not agree with the former Tanaim. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, the three Tanaim are going to be from the biggest Chiddush to the least. The biggest Chiddush is going to be that of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi is going to agree with Rabbi Elazar, but that's how he's going to agree with everybody. And Rabbi Shimon is going to think that he's the least of the Chiddush. Rabbi Yossi is going to hold again. He's going to agree both Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, and we're going to go basically in backwards order. As the Gemara is going to flesh out now. Rabbi Yossi, Modi le Rabbi Elazar. He's going to agree with Rabbi Elazar because Ksuva d'mida d'ledida. Because what is a Ksuva d'mida d'ledida? Look on this. That when it comes to the Ksuva, which is a benefit from the husband and given to the wife, that you don't make a knas, and that was actually for her benefit. That what is the purpose of the findings which said the things that she finds and the fact that she could be first to dharma and all these things, that's for him, the benefit of the husband. So close again, we're not going to penalize that. For Rabbi Elazar lo modile, however, Rabbi Elazar doesn't agree with Rabbi Yossi because mitzias on that which I agree with, those things that are from him to her, and we're not penalizing, because at the end of the day, why are we penalizing him? So the first mandamara, I understand that they're arguing that we penalize him because we want to get divorced. Really, it's not a penalty on him. We want to just make sure he gets divorced. We're afraid that if he has these abilities to do these things, he won't get divorced. But here, Rabbi Yochanan is just focusing on the punishment. Who's punished right now? The woman's being punished. She's the one in the case. The guy went abroad. He either violated an Isra by going abroad. No, we're not going to penalize him. So therefore, there's no reason to penalize him, and therefore he should be entitled to these things. But the ksuba payment, which is from the husband and given to the wife, that's a benefit of the wife that she should lose out on because she wasn't careful. And both of them agree with Rabbi Shimon. If they hold that these rights, which are going to be the case of the husband's lifetime, were not penalized, then having bia after the husband's death, we shouldn't say, since the man and the woman are going to be usher of the znus that she committed against him, it stands to make sure that those rights that directly enhance the relationship should be the ones that are penalized. However, that which is, he's already dead, and there's no problem of them be a shayla of them being married anymore, and their husband level the rights of fully eschal, we're not going to penalize them until not allow the case of yibum. Rabbi Shimon lo modil over. Rabbi Shimon doesn't agree. He's the least chedesh. He's saying only the case of bia, because bia delachar misa lo kanis. I only agree which that which is not penalized. Aval hanei demechayim kanis. But those rights which are going to be operative when the husband was alive, those we're going to penalize because we want to make sure they get divorced. So that's how he's going to go with that. So now the Gemara is listing the final halacha, which was stated by, Rabbi Shimon Nisa Shalom Bershus. She got married without the base did not tell her she was entitled to get remarried, but she had to. And it says, she is permitted to go back to him. So the Gemara now says, Amar Avunam Rav, Achi Yochav said that this is halacha. So we're passing like what seems to be in the Havamina, the Stam Mishnah, so there's no Chiddush over here. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman, Gnuve Gnava Lamalach. You're being a trickster over here. You're Gnevas Das over here. You're stealing the Kilu is stealing this halacha. So what act is, what over here is being done with trickery? Yisri Lach Rav Shimon, because if you really hold like Rav Shimon, Emelach Lach Rav Shimon, Rav Nachman on the other opinion, this is only the shita of Reb Shimon keneged the Tanakama. This was the hemshech of the Reb Shimon. This is not the lach of the Tanakama, meaning yachad v'rabim, lach v'rabim. We really should go like the Tanakama, which would say that if she got remarried in the case of two witnesses, she would not be allowed to go back to her husband. The shmaitach Reb Shimon calls, like, your teaching is following that of Reb Shimon, and we would paskin against that. The yachad v'rabim, the rabim would be that you would not be allowed to get married. Chitei ma'iyam in lach Reb Shimon. And if you'd say that, okay, what should I say? If I said the lach of Reb Shimon, mashma fila bekamaisa, but that would have implied that the lacha is going to be like the first ruling of Reb Shimon, that he allows you to do yibum, which we don't Paskin like. We only hold like the second ladder halacha of Reb Shimon. So then just say, Ima halacha Reb Shimon b'achrona, that there's halacha like Reb Shimon in this ladder ruling, that's Reb Shimon. And the Gemara points out, Kasha, this is in fact the problem with this Shita. Now the Gemara continues. Amar Rav Sheshes, Amina Kinayim v'shachiv Rav, Amar Rav Shmata. So there's a complete opposite rule. Rav Sheshes says that Rav said this halacha while he was falling asleep. He can't be, had so much respect for Rav. It can't be that Rav said this. There's, it's in Gedolim. They say certain halachas, and Talmidim have so many kashas on it. It doesn't make sense. How do he possibly say this? They have so much respect for the Rav. They know what a genius he is. So he couldn't have said it. It doesn't make sense. So here, must have been falling asleep when he said this halacha. Halacha mechal depligi. He's saying the opposite. He's saying that the halacha follows zeik. This implies that seemingly there are people who disagree with the Shimon that we would penalize her. So the Gemara says, how could it be? My avil amid miyazanasa. She's completely honest. Completely an unavoidable situation that she had no idea. She had two witnesses come and tell her, by the way, your husband died. She believed them, as she should. That's a lacha, that's a Torah. She went to Beis Din, they would believe her. So there's unavoidable circumstances over here. So why in the world should she be punished? So there'd be nobody who disagrees with this. So says the Gemara, Ve'otan, and not only that, the Braisa says, Kol Arayos Shebetera. Any of all the Arayos in the Torah, Ein Tzrichos Aminu Get. That if a man marries any of them, they do not require a get from him, because we're assuming that there would be an Isra Kari, so the Chidush is not Chal. So therefore, it would just be a Bias Nusbe Alman, and they would not be married. Chutz meishes ish and nisus al pi beis din, except for the exception of a married woman whose husband disappears that they're remarrying with the consent of the beis din, requires a get from her second husband, because as we mentioned in the Gezeiros Chazal, that they were afraid that people are going to think you get divorced without a get. Al pi beis din udabai agita. Now the Braisa implies that she, only with the consent of the beis din does she require a get. Al pi edim lo bai agita, but if she got remarried on the case of without the beis din, she would not require a get. Money, now who's that chita going to? Elim Rav Shimon, I'm going to say like Rav Shimon, al pi beis din bai a get, that if she gets married on the account of the beis din, she would require a divorce. That's not true. Vatana, we learn in a brayser. Reb Shimon Omer also based in Boharas, and they treated based in like in regard to the permitting the woman to remarry. Kizadon ish beisha, like an intentional act of bia committed by a man with a married woman, and therefore usher to return to her husband. Al pi edim, they treated the case which a woman remarried on the testimony of two witnesses. That was again. That was kizadon ish, was when you have one witness. When you have two witnesses, kishkigas ish beisha is like an accidental case of bia, a man with a married woman, and did not going to prohibit her from going back. So Gemara's understanding that Reb Shimon in this brayser is saying two differences between the Mishnah's two cases. Meaning in the first case, we're making the fact that the woman is getting remarried on a single witness and so she didn't check properly, that's her own fault. So therefore, she's going to have all the penalties that we see in the Mishnah of being a ki'ilu like she did it willingly. In the second case, though, she acted responsibly. She listened to the two edim. It's totally fine. That's the shita of Rabbi Shimon. And now, that would be the case. According to Rabbi Shimon's statement, implies that either case, when she remarried according to that of a single witness, or even the case of two witnesses, she would not require a get from the second husband in order to remarry. That lechora she would not require a get, because it's just like having bia outside of wedlock, which is not going to be a kedushin. You'd have in mind kedushin, and therefore the Gemara is assuming right at this point that she would not require a get. So therefore, we see from that that the Rabbanan agree with Rabbi Shimon's ruling that the woman is not penalized in this case, unlike the implication of the shita of Rav. And accordingly, we could say that everybody would agree that she would be allowed to go back in the case where she had two witnesses. So that would be that would be the case. So that would be the case over here. So the Gemara says, that really, actually, the first brisa is the shita of Reb Shimon. And you can answer the following: Reb Shimon Aimer also based in Behorasa. They treated a case which the court had the ruling, but the based in gave the ruling permitting the woman to remarry. Kivanas ish beisha, like kichavanas ish beisha, the case where a woman had bia with. We're changing the understanding right now. Well, it's bia al daita the mekadesh in order to be mekadesh to this man. Ubaya get, and therefore she requires a get before remarrying. Al pi edim, and the case where she gets remarried based on the count of two witnesses. She didn't have any intent to have bia like shem kiddushin, and she therefore is not requiring a get before remarrying. So basically, the Gemara is arguing that Rabbi Shimon in fact agrees with the Rabbanan that a woman who remarried based on the single witnesses requires a get from the second husband. And the second praisa, which the Gemara said that she did not require a get, that's talking about the Gemara was saying that original understanding was incorrect, and now we're saying that really Rabbi Shimon is making analogous to a case where she did not have in mind to have a mekadesh, and therefore kipnuya sheskaven lekatcha to buy a gita, that she would require a get in the first and not the second one. Ashi says a different way to answer the braces of Shitas Reb Shimon, that really, that with respect to the Isra of their husband, and not with respect to the get is required. That here, Rav Ashi is understanding the original understanding of the braces, that Reb Shimon compares the Mishnah's case of the case of Mezid and Shogig as the same. However, he explains that Reb Shimon doesn't mean that these are going to be the same in every single respect, as we originally had in the Havamina. Rather, he's saying that only with regards to the Isra to her husband, whether or not she requires a get from the second husband is not going to be comparable, even though that a typical case of a Bias Nus does not require a get from the guy who's noif with her, the guy who's going to have bia with her. In the Mishnah's first case, she does require a get from her second husband, and that would be the case. They treated the case of the Beistin and their ruling permitting the woman to remarry like an intentional act of bias nus committed by a man with a married woman. Umitzra al baila, and she becomes usher to her husband. And the case of the testimony of two witnesses is going to case of an accidental case of adultery committed with a man to a married woman. Velo mitzra al baila, and she does not become usher to her husband, and therefore the first brisa is indeed reflecting the shita of Reb Shimon, and there's no proof that the Rabbanan's view that the Rabbanan does agree with that. So now it says the Gemara another answer. Ravina, another defensive Rav. Ravina Amar Le'inyan Korban Ketani, that the second brisa is only with regards to Korban Chatas. In a case where you have Bias Nus Be'Shoge, it's going to be a Chatas in both the cases of the Mishnah. However, the Mishnah ruled that where the woman remarried based on a single witness, there is no Chatas because it's more Karav Lemezid. That's the problem. So therefore, we're assuming that only when she's going to be based on the two Edim, she's required to bring a Korban. In that case, she requires, and also, by the besides this cover of the Mezid, she was actually relying on the basin. Basin, give her the heter, you're not required to bring a korban. Asu basin barasan kizodon ish beisha. They treated the case, their ruler permitted the woman to remarry, like an intentional act of bia committed by a man to married woman. Velo maaser korban, she's not entitled to bring a korban because it's doma the fact that it's intentional, as we just mentioned. Al pi edim kishkigash ish beisha. And in the case where We're talking about the testimony of two witnesses, like that case where it was accidental, and therefore she's going to bring a korban. According to this version, so we have no indication from the second brayser of Shimon doesn't require a get from the second husband, and she remarried based on the case of the single witness. And accordingly, the first brayser may be actually the shita of Reb Shimon's opinion, and there's no proof what the rabbanim would hold. So now the Gemara says ve'ibay seima, or we could say all of these were just showing that there's no raya for Rav Shesus, but not really bringing a raya for Rav. This answer is actually going to bring a raya for Rav. Hakamaisa rabbanati. The first brisa is in fact the shita of the Rabbanan. Rabbi Shimon actually would disagree, and therefore not require a get. V'tara Tzachin explained the brisa saying the following: Chutz Meishes, there's no erva that requires a get from a man to whom she's married, with the exceptions of a married woman, meaning that a woman remarried on the basis of a shnei edim, the shnei zal b'edesin, and married remarried on the kent of the basin. Each of these cases, the woman does require a get from the second husband after the first husband returns. And if this read is going to be that we're adding in the lashon of and, that it should be in addition to. And the brisa is telling us that both women are remarried on the basis of two witnesses' testimony, and the woman remarried on the one is going to require a get from the second husband. And since even the woman who remarried on the basis of two witnesses was penalized to require a get, obviously we don't say that she's completely not to blame, and therefore follows likewise impose the penalty to also not to return to her husband. According to this version, the brisa is going to actually be a raya for Rav. The other ones we just deflected the kasha against Rav. Here we're actually mamash bringing a raya for the shita of Rav. Now the Gemara says, "Meisiv Ula." Ula has a kasha. Mi arminan mai hava leila ma'avi. So Ula asks a kasha that could we really say this halacha? What could she have done and not penalize the woman for having bias nus that she committed by accident? That's not the way we learn in the Mishnah. Because of the shem alchol sheino ogenes, that if the sofer had written the date of a get according to the of a kingdom that's not worthy of writing down, as the Gemara actually relates in, I think it's more in Masechta's Gittin, that the whole Roman Empire is considered this white b'vanei ogenes because they don't even have their own language of their own. They took it from the Greeks. Rather, they adopt the alphabet of other nations. Therefore, it's considered they're considered ino ogenes. Also, they were disdained from the fact that they treated the Yidden so badly. So therefore, a get should be dated generally with the reign of the local monarchy. However, here we're assuming that you're not allowed to do so, and we're going to see it even passes it. So that kas l'shem ganes l'shem malchus madai, or even the king of madai l'shem malchus yavan or Greece l'vinyan abayas, or from the since the construction of when they built the Beis Hamikdash, the chubra l'vayis, or when they destroyed the Beis Hamikdash, hayav b'mizrach v'kas b'marav. He was in the east. He wrote the get. It was in the west. B'marav v'kas b'mizrach. West was in the east. So meaning he was in an eastern city, but wrote in the name of a western city. He made a mistake on this area that he was in. So all these examples. That since she gets divorced with a get that was really posthumous and she got remarried, so she's obviously not allowed to remain with her second husband. She wasn't married to him yet. That was a bias nus, and her kids would be mamzerim. And then she's not allowed to go back to the first husband because of the fact that we assume that she's karav lemezid over there. So all this is going to apply to her, the lachas of the Mishnah. So we see over here that she's penalized the same way as the Mishnah. And then we see over here, if according to your svara though, according to this, I am having the meavad. So say over here that she's completely out of her control. There's nothing she could have done here either. She didn't know this get was possible. She fully thought it was totally kosher and she's totally honest. So the Gemara says no, because she's not completely blameless. Because Ibaila the Akri Legita. She could have read the get to an expert. She could have gotten to the biggest Talmud Chacham of the generation, say, show him the get, and he'll say whether it's kosher or not. Even though the biggest Talmud Chacham, the guy is an expert in Gittin, go bring it to him, and then see if it was really kosher. So as the Gemara, another kasha though. Amar Shimba Rashi is going to be actually very similar. Tosas is bothered by all these kashas. Seem to be just a follow-up of all the previous ones. Tosas says what the nuances in each one. Tashma, Kona says Yevimto. If a man marries his Yevama, Ve'alcha Tarasa Venitsis, and her co-wife went and got married to the general public, Venitsis, Zo Islandis. And also, she found out that the first one really found to be an Islandis, so that means that the Yibum that this lady had was ineffective, and therefore the Tzara was not allowed to go marry the second guy. So Lachas, Tetim, Yzeim, Zevachal, Ramarimba, all the penalties that in our mission applied to this lady who went out. So Gemara says something about she could have done. What should she have done? That she saw that her tzara, her co-wife had done bia with the yavam, and she's fully married to him. She had no idea that she was an islandist. And whereas the Yibayla the Muslim, she should have waited till to see if she had signs of an islandist or she had a child. That she's not completely blameless. She could have got remarried, but she takes the risk that if she's an islandist, that she would have to get divorced from her current husband. Says the Gemara, Baya Tashma, another proof. We say Kol Arayas Shamra Potosar. Saying all the examples of Arayas. The Chachamim say they released their co-wives to remarry. In the case of the Alchol Taras V'Nisu, if the co-wives went and married men from these cases, V'Nimtzu Elu Islandis, and these the Arayas were found to be an Islandis, Teitim Mizeh Mizeh. The co-wives Because it finds out the first kiddush was ever a chal, so she really was chayav in yibum. Bechol ram eluba, and therefore she is going to be penalized. So the Gemara asks, "Vamai nema mai havelei lemaavid?" So this seemingly is the exact same question that we just had on the previous one. So Tosfos says, "No, here there was a cheskas heter because the fact that she was that one of their co-wives was a tzara was usher mitzah that she was related to the future husband. So therefore, and then patters all them that was a cheskas heter for her to go marry. And that I would have thought as a havamina that she would nothing to do. She's going to be blameless, and therefore the gets the same answer. No, she should have waited in this case as well. Says the Gemara Vayter, Amar Rava Tashba. Another proof from the same Mishnah. Kasav sofer get leish v'shover leisha. If a man who was the sofer, he was in charge of writing down the get. He wrote the get for the man, and she at the same time they said, let's give you the receipt that you paid off the ksuba, paid off all the things that are in the ksuba, and therefore we don't have to save some time over here. And what happened? V'tav and get leisha v'shover leish. So when handing the get over, she made a mistake. The sofer made a mistake. She didn't read it. She saw that it was. She thought it was her get, and he, the husband, received the get, and she received the receipt. So Vanessa Zelaz asked that he gave each one to each other, and then she got not the receipt. She got the shofar. And the husband looks at him. Oh my God! I have her get. I never gave her a get. So what happened? The shofar mitachas isha, and she has the receipt. So then she got remarried based on that. She has to get divorced. And all of these things that are the same. Vamai says the Gemara, why should she be penalized? Nema, my have the mavin. What could she have done? Here, again, Tosa's bothered by this. What do you mean? She could have read it. So Tosa says, no, maybe we're talking about the guy, the sofer mamish read it right before. And just and then right a second before, he gave it to the husband. He didn't realize which one. He got confused which one was which. But he did read it to them. So there, I would have thought mamish, there's nothing she could have done. And the Gemara says, no, he by the Kriya Gita. So once he gave it to her, she should have read it again. So she's not completely blameless in this situation either. Says the Gemara, Baitar, Amar Ravashi, Tashma, another proof. From another case of the Mishnah, Shina Shmo Shma, in the case where the sofer changed the name of the wife's name, or they got the city wrong, and a similar thing, again, everything, all the punishments are going to apply. The Gemara says it's similar here. Why am I, Nima, my other Ovid? What could she have done? Here, there's even more of a question. She would have mean, they got the names wrong, so clearly reading it's wrong. So Tosa says, no, here also, is that where they had two different names in different places, Tosa make the Kimta. That was a big Kiddush, because maybe I would have thought, she goes by the name in the other place. Everybody knows her as Rachel over here. She's Rachel in the other place. So here she's Rachel. Everybody says she's Rachel. So that would be the Shiloh of here. So the Gemara is saying, no, that would be why, even if she's totally Pater, no, here, because the Baila and the Mikra Gita, she should have known what she's called over here. And check out the get to make sure that it's kosher. Says the Gemara, Vaitar Amaravina. Tashma, another proof. Beunasa beget karach. If a woman marries in the way of literally a bald get. Karach is someone who's karach, someone who is bald. It's one of the Kalanim. To be bald. So that's, a problem over here. They used to make the get makusher bound in order that the kohanim, who are get very, very high tempered people, so if they got divorced for their wives, normally when a person gets divorced, he's allowed to remarry his wife, but a kohen is not allowed to marry his own grusha. So we're afraid that he's going to regret it. So we wanted to make the process a little bit longer by making you do a makusher by binding the get. So if you didn't do this, the halacha is it's puzzle, tetum is emezeh, and it's going to be puzzle. So what did the Navar Sigmar says? Bailele kriya gita, she should have read the get, meaning presented them and see before she remarried. If she's not a get makusher, it'd be problematic. So therefore, all these cases we have bring a riot that there is something wrong that she should have done. So the Gemara, Rapapa, Savar, the Me'avit, Uvda, B'mai, Havet, the Me'avit. So Rapapa thought that this is a good reasoning that we should say that if she gets remarried based on the two witnesses, she should be allowed to go back to her husband, because what could she have done with this on the testimony of the two witnesses? So Amar Ravuna, Breda, Ravuna, Shula, Papa, Vatana, Kola, Menos, Nisa. What do you mean? We had a kasha on all these Mishnayos, on all these braces of Mishnayos. So the Gemara says, Amar Le, but we answered these, Vavala, Shinui, we answered all these, we deflected all these kashas. So what are you bothered by? So Amar Le, Vishnui, Lake of Elismuch, based on this, on our understanding of this, you're going to go ahead and be out there a potential case of a situation where a woman made a real mistake are going to be makel on that, meaning really you have to go to all these answers, the dochak answers sometimes. So Zezek Mara Upasak Rav Sheshet, the Rav Papa agreed to that, and therefore he accepted this argument and he stopped his halacha and he said, you're right, and that would be the case, that would be that if we don't paskin that you're allowed even on basis of two witnesses. So what comes out over here is halacha l'maisa, that the Shulchan Aruch rules that if a woman remarries on the basis of Shnei Edim and subsequently her husband comes back, then she would not be allowed to go back to her original husband. We don't assume that she was completely negligent, which would be the obvious question, though, is why not? Why, based on two witnesses, why are we assuming that she should, what else? The Torah gives us the thing that should be, that everything is always assumed by two witnesses is always establishing the Metzias. So as it says, some of the Meiri and other Rishonim Achronim, they want to tie them, maybe because even, because the concept of an Ish is so chamor, it's so chamor, it's an Ish or Mamzeris over here. She has children with other set of this other husband that she remarried, mistake. significantly, it's going to create mamzerim, which we're so machmir about, that even there, we assume that the woman has to do a proper investigation. And obviously, if she just relied on these witnesses and the husband came back, then obviously she was not doing a proper investigation, because then she would have realized that the husband was coming back, and therefore we ke'ilu punish her. And even in the case of two witnesses, who's normally relied upon in all halachas, here we go so far as to say she's not allowed to go back to her first husband. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, will pick up with Amar Vashi in tomorrow's daf.